announcements on the 19th, which is this coming Sunday at 10 a.m., we're going to have a fresh fire service, and Brother Stephen Rhodes will be preaching, and there will be no service here on Sunday night. Then on the 21st, there's our Ladies United Fellowship. It's going to be at Bratcher's Nursery. And then on the 26th, which will be the following Sunday, we're going to have our communion service. You know, normally at the first of the year, we always have a communion service. Get the year all started out right. Get us all created in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, O Lord. Cast me not from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That kind of service, okay? A communion service. And then on the 22nd, which is next Wednesday night, we're going to start a six-week Wednesday night series called Greatness is God's Gift to You. And it is six incredible lessons that will make you feel so good about who you are and why you are here and where you are headed. So every Wednesday night starting on the 22nd is going to be, that is going to be wonderful. I think that right now we will go ahead and do our prayer request. We have special requests from Steve Gordon, Lee Landis, Stacy Fryer, and the little twin baby boys, that Sister Joanne's little twins, new grandbabies. Sister Mildred Pratt really needs prayer. Brother Billy Trinata needs prayer. Tanya Freeland, Brother Tiny Freeland, Sister Bernice, and also Brother Arlton. We're going to remember these people in prayer because God knows, He cares, and He can do what needs to be done. And also we just received news a few minutes ago that Sister Mary Lou went home from work today. She's been here at the church quite a while today because closing out, you know, 2024. She's been here at the church quite a long time today. And she went home and found little Sister Sue had passed away. She was in bed. And so let's remember Mary Lou and Ronnie. That's very difficult. Sue is her own. Well, y'all know the relationship, and we love Sister Sue, and lately she's been looking so good and said she was feeling good, but you know what? God knows. We do not. So if you want to stand, I will mention back before Brother Dickey's going to lead in prayer over all of these, I will mention also that, of course, Brother Stephen's preaching this Sunday. The next Sunday is communion. But then going into the first week of February, all weekends in February, you will hear a guest speaker. Some really nice couples are coming to speak to you the month of February. And I know that y'all are going to be blessed. So Brother Dickey is going to lead out in prayer right now. Thank you. be seated. Denise is going to sing about God's eyes being on the sparrow.
Sing this for my sweet friend tonight. She's been my best friend since I was about 13. And I practically lived at the Smith's house. So Sue was like a big sister to me. Should I doubt or worry when the shadows come? Why should my heart ever be lonely? Why should it long for heaven? Jesus is my portion and a faithful friend is he, and his eye it is home, it is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches. Your heart ever be weary, or his faithful words that I hear, for I'm resting on his goodness, and I'm leaning on him in my fears, for Jesus is my portion and a faithful friend is he, and I know that his eye it is on watches me. Try to sing it with me if it's not hard. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free. Thank God I am free, and his eye, it is home. That he watches me.
It's a beautiful thought. We know that he is watching. If our ushers will come right now, we will take up our evening offering. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh, that saved. And I through me. Dangers, trolls, and snares, I am already come. His grace has brought me safe. Thus far, I know His grace.
Declares it, the way of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So you sense what happens, then the conversion takes place. He is the master of everything. And about a little over a week ago, I begun to work on this particular evening. And so I titled it, Let Us Face It and Faith It. And it's amazing that God has little things, weather changes, situation changes, but He never changes. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And His covenants cannot be broken. The laws of the Spirit are so phenomenal. It's one of the reasons why that being born again of the water and the Spirit are so critical. And the new birth of that sensitivity of the glory of God. So tonight, I'm going to actually try to close this a little earlier, but still at the same time help us to reach a zenith from which we can look down at the tragedies and the travesties and the difficulties of life. So I'd like for us to just sort of embedded in our minds and hearts, we are going to face it and we are going to faith it. He is an overcomer. So I'm going to read part of this and I'll make some comments, hopefully to help. Joseph was most beloved by his father. Jacob, yet hated by his half-brothers, Joseph struggled at home and in a foreign land. At home, Joseph's brothers loathed him because of the dreams he told them about. Can you imagine being in the house of people that are your family and you share with them dreams that are bigger than the setting and seemingly so far away from such conscious levels of life as he began to talk about it? And yet at the same time, while he's dreaming, his brothers are estimating levels of hate, jealousy, envy, strife. He had dreams about his brothers bowing down to him. Now, I had a brother, had four sisters, and none of the five wanted to bow down to me. So I can understand that when you have that many brothers and family members, and he tells them, there's coming a day, you guys are going to bend over and look at me in a very wonderful way. So I can relate to that in the sense of that. But at the same time, there were godly powers that were already being given. And so driven by the envy of the men that were his brothers and family, they began to create very difficult things, and so they finally sold Joseph to traveling merchants. I don't know if you've ever been sold out or not by somebody that decided they wanted to plant something in other people's lives about you and put you in a situation that was extremely negative. Satan is really good at that. He works hard to promote that kind of interest because he knows he will never have the option to get out of hell. So, driven by this envy, the brothers sold Joseph to a traveling merchant, making their father believe that Joseph was already dead. In that setting, tried to put in a far away thought in a mind of a dad and a family member. So in Egypt, Joseph's misfortunes continued as he was imprisoned because of a false accusation. Nonetheless, Joseph used God's gifts. Oh, hallelujah. As I was putting this together, and I wanted to do a little dance myself, because in the middle, when you face it and faith it, God's got supplies on hand, and God's got a work going on. And I assure you in this city that God's got a great work. Joseph used God's gift to help the Pharaoh lead the people during a famine. And so he says, love your enemies in the New Testament. We get that from way back. They began to bless others, and the blessing turned around and gave them something wonderful. Joseph received his life's greatest blessings, an admirable job, a family, most important reconciliation and reunion with his brothers and fathers. And he said it this way, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you. Oh, I want to just shout when I'm saying that. As I was trying to put all this together and make the rhyme and the rhythm of it for us, a people that are in a setting right now in which people don't really particularly appreciate godliness and holiness and righteousness, and people that worship God more than they worship ball players. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful event tonight to be able to gather under this canopy of the glory of the resurrected Messiah and know that we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the people that we call, the Bible calls, the redeemed of the Lord. You talk about shouting room. I've had such a wonderful days thinking about some of this and the glory. And so let's face it. Yes, there's hell out there. Faith it. Yes, there's more victory than there is hell. Yes, face it. There's a lot of people that don't like apostolic lifestyle and Holy Ghost and fire. But let's face it. There is a glory in the middle of the fiery furnace. Ladies and gentlemen, I am just chilling out from my nose to my toes. There is such a wonderful thing. And, you know, in this setting, faith in it and facing it both, you begin to find as you travel down the way of the Word and walk in the Spirit that God has plans for all of us. Every one of us here and those listening in have probably been disappointed at some time by something. But at the same time, God already had a plan to give you something that would be more than what you lost. More a gratuity from the angel force that would upgrade you. And people look at you and say, I don't know how you made it. I don't know how you went through that. I can tell you, we faced off with it and we faithed it. And God said, I'll bless that. I will give that all it needs to counter with what's happening in that arena. And so these wonderful faith-filled stories narrate all of characters that have just filled that Bible. And so, inspired by these stories of perseverance, we look at the experiences of 10 interesting Bible characters tonight, and we're not going to be able to do all 10, but I put it all there in case I got there, who praised God in the most challenging situations. We also discover some of the best lessons on faith in God when we experience some experience that we have to face in the world. And so we have our faith in God. Joseph, the dreamer. It was the passionate, purposeful power that led Christ through that wonderful grave that is empty, has been empty, and will never be filled with his presence or body anymore. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so now, tonight, you and I look at a future and say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though he lets me go in the way of the world into the death chamber, I know that he is the resurrection. I know that my sickness is not a sickness unto death. It's a sickness that goes through death unto the life that was forever portioned for us and designed for us. In Egypt, Joseph's misfortunes continued as he was imprisoned. Can you imagine every day waking up with a promise and having to live in a privation? The promise is what he kept above the privation. Yes, he went through hell. Yes, he hurt. Yes, he had question marks. Yes, he had feelings. Yes, we do. All of the above. And yet, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the resurrection. He is the life. And there is none beside him. There's none like him. And yet, he is creating himself in us so that we, the bride, the partner with him forever, conquering all of the things that the enemy thought he had us hung out by. Trying to try to get these moved over so I don't go into all of the details of some of it. You may be struggling. You may have family that's struggling. We're all struggling a little bit tonight because of the news we just got this evening. I watched Sister Mary Lou and them work so feverishly and hard today doing things to help make this church a greater place day by day, week by week, month by month. And as she tried to tell me the event she met at home, could not thank God enough that he had helped me to be equipped with this lesson over the last few days, writing a little here and a little there and just realizing that we got to face it and we got to faith it. And I had already put it all on paper. I mean, it was just like boom. And then I reached out and got the contract. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The way of the Lord is perfect. I am with you always. And all of a sudden, he took my hand in the office this evening and said, I will do my promises for my people. Just tell them to hang in there. Just tell them to hold on. Keep the faith. Don't give up. Don't give in. There is a wonderful crowd of witnesses that are already on the other side. You've got some family members that are already there. I've got several family members that are already there. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. I'm not ready to quit faith in it here. I've got some friends that I want to get in this business of redeemed, glorifying a name that's above every name. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most wonderful moments to live. We are already most of the way through this world of hell. Hang on. Keep the faith. Walk in the faith. Live in the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up and don't give in. Just keep on praising. Just keep on worshiping. Keep going around the walls. They're going to fall. Keep going around and go through the lion's den. The lions are not going to destroy your faith in God. I'm here to teach and preach tonight that we are on the right path, that we haven't finished the race yet, but we're on the right path. We're not giving in. We're not giving up. Yes, there are all kind of things going on around us, but great is the Lord. Great is his name. Greatly to be praised in the mountain of Zion. Oh, praise his name. Would you just like to stand? I'm telling you, he's looking in tonight. He is looking in on our city, and he's watching a way for us to take this glorious truth. Oh, God, I thank you right now. I thank you right now. I'm sure that there were moments when these characters, Moses and then Ruth, well, a loyal woman. The story of Ruth starts with tragedy, several misfortunes. As a widow and an outsider in her community, I can't hardly read the story in reality without realizing what that little lady had to feel and experience so that we could read the whole book of Ruth and know she faced it and she faithed it and God restored things and gave her things that were mighty. Ruth's faithfulness to God and Naomi was more important. Her loyalty served as her foundation for navigating the challenges of daily life. But Ruth replied, in all those challenges, don't urge me to leave you or even to turn back from you. Where would I go? And where would I stay? Your people will be my people, and your God my God, and I will not give my life to another cause or a purpose. I will endure the contradiction of sinners. I will endure the falsifications of statements that would even insinuate that I could not accomplish the promise of God. I would not live with the vain, repetitious feelings of the world. I will find that anchor of my soul. I will get a grasp on a future, and I will face looking up unto the author and the finisher of our faith. I will only look unto Jesus, the one who came as a baby, and he lived, and he healed, and he raised the dead, and he proved it in his own life, that he laid down his life for us, that we might have the final positive realization that it is no weird thing to die in the faith and walk in the faith. And suddenly we have an empty tomb that the whole world salutes every year when it comes Easter time. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you let the devil come up to you and tell you it's not worth it and tell you that it's not going to happen. I'm here to tell you history's already been revealed. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is worth worshiping. He is worth following. He is worth reliving his life in my life. I am his and he is mine. Oh, let's praise him again tonight. Oh, what a God. What a God. What a God. Oh. All of us know so much about David, almost didn't even put it in the notes tonight, because David is, he's just just an awesome figure in people's lives. Nearly everyone knows how David defeated Goliath with just a sling and a stone. Please don't let the enemy make you think that you don't have everything you need to bring the giant of sin and deceit and doubts and fears. Yes, they are giants. They really relate to this stuff. That's why he said, crucify the flesh and the lusts thereof, because those are giants. The feeling of sickness, the feeling of watching cancer rip through your mother or your child, those are giants. We never lie to ourselves about that. That's a giant. But we've got a God that knows how to handle giants. And we may not have anything more than a little stone, but throw what you got to the way of the world and say, God, in you I trust. In you I have my faith. In your word I live. In your way I walk. I will not give up. And I tell you, you'll be able to sleep at night knowing that the giant has been conquered, that you are going to get a good night's rest. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in worry. You don't have to live in sickness. You may have weakness in the sickness, but what you know is greater than what you're feeling. He just gave you the first breath, and he's in charge of the last one. He gave you strength. He knows how to slip you into the eternal world. That's why we praise him and go to services week after week and sometimes three or four times a week, because we want to be strong in the faith. We eat regularly. We do things that exercise ourselves in many ways. But when you know the difference between walking in the faith and facing off with the things of this world, knowing the scripture, whether I live or whether I die, I have the
Lord. He owns me, and I owe him my love, my faith, my confidence.
song we sing and live with Job. Though the skin worms destroy this flesh, yet in my life I will see my God. I will find the finale in the wonderful place called the death, but in the grave, Jesus, Lazarus, others had a spirit that was going to take them out. And so we have these wonderful provisions. Let's move one more past David. Jeremiah the prophet, known as the weeping prophet. I want to encourage you. Weeping is a wonderful experience. I went through a little short time recently that I couldn't cry. It seemed like I just couldn't come up with any tears. And finally, I got it back. And I began to realize the value of weeping in the presence of God. It was such a joyful, thrilling realization to know that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, found in the solace of tears rivers of blessings. He created the tears. He created the river that touches God and moves men and women into reservoirs of His glory. Don't you ever quit shouting, and don't you ever quit weeping for the lost, for the neighbors. He wept. He, the Messiah, wept. He wept for both reasons. He wanted people to know that he had sensitivity with pain. But his greatest pain was looking at his lookalikes. Brother Tanner, they didn't know how to live. So he exhibited life in such a way that when people spit on him, made fun of him, ridiculed him, the very thing that they did to him brought tears to his eyes, not because he was, just because he was suffering. His biggest suffering was they didn't understand. They were trying to kill and destroy the very affluence that every one of them really wanted. Every one of us want joy. Every one of us want to live in supremacy and look down at the things that are trying to rise up against us. We, every one of us, want to be joyful in our life. And that's why the peace and the joy and the righteousness of the kingdom has been furnished by the King Himself. He came in flesh. He became sin. He understands everything about you and I. There is not one thing He has not already experienced. And He said, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Why don't y'all come get ready to sing? I can tell right now I got 30 or 40 more minutes, but I think we ought to slow down right here and just terminate this service with a little special prayer, praise, and worship God. There is such an aura in our city right now. The reason I know it's here because I felt it. The reason I know it's here is because others have felt it. Most every one of you have felt it, because you wouldn't be here tonight if you haven't felt it lately.
there would be no real reason to get back to the well if it hadn't satisfied something in your life. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that forget that it's a daily diet, so that daily victory is consummate in our life. So why don't we just, as they sing, just sit in the presence of God. Thank you for being here. Those of you that are online, I encourage you to enjoy and join with us. As they sing, I want you just to relive some of the victories that you've already come through. Try to remember a few of those times the devil tempted you and wanted you to do this negative thing or experience another negative thing. Tonight, why don't we just enjoy the presence of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit makes its way to your individual part of life. God, we're going to face it, and we're going to faith it this week, this month, this year. Whatever happens, we're not running, we're facing it.
Oh, praise His holy name.
That's it. You've got family members. Remind yourself of your prayer and remind yourself of your God being able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There is a revival. There is a future for the United Pentecostal Church of Paris.
Two can put 10,000 to flight. Maybe you can take the hand of somebody and just pray for a couple of minutes or praise with them. We're going to multiply in this community. We're going to multiply the glory in this community. We're going to let them see the scars, but feel the impact of the life.
Why don't you stand with them and join this last part of the singing again? God, we shout unto you from our hearts. Death doesn't conquer the victory. Death is only a doorway into another world. We understand that better than most people. When you die in the faith, you live in the glory. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Sister Mary Lou, Brother Ronnie, if you are listening, your family is facing it with you. We're facing it with you. Had no idea this would be the night.
Hallelujah. One more time. I know I've already
said
that.
Let there be glory and honor.
Hallelujah.
To Jesus.
Such a joy in this.
Glory and honor to Jesus.
Have them sing it one more time, and I want us to pray as they sing it for the first part of it. I want us to pray one more time for the people you've been wanting to get the Holy Ghost. I want you to call two or three names if you're working with that, and then I want us to join with them and know without a question He's heard our prayer again. So go ahead and sing it, and right now just quietly mention to the angels that are listening into your life right now, I am totally confident you've got angels all around you.
Praise His holy name. To God be the glory now and forever. Praise His
Ricky Brown, I'd like for you to pray our final prayers. We just quietly listen and beautifully absorb. This man has challenged hell more than once and given his ovations to the King. Let's clap our hands right as we get ready to leave. Have a good, cool week.